12. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I do pray you'd help us to understand what's happening throughout the world and locally here, what's going on here. And I just pray you'd help us to, as we sang, trusting Jesus. That is all. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 12, you have at the beginning an idea about spiritual gifts. And this will run actually chapter 12 clear to chapter 15, the end of 15. That's the topic there. Sandwiched in between the spiritual gifts on chapter 12, Paul detours or gives additional information about the body of Christ. Okay, this is a mystery. So you have every born-again believer throughout the world is in this mystery body of Christ. Okay, so we're uniquely connected to every Christian throughout the world. And here locally, in our local church, then we have a spiritual connection that way too. And in some cases, that connection is a stronger bond than your own blood. They say blood runs thicker than water. But sometimes blood family opposes your spiritual beliefs. And so your friendship often can occur closer within the body of Christ. So in this context, he runs 12 to 27 about this mystical body of Christ. And I want to kind of drop down. Well, we'll go ahead and read verse 12 and follow. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he parallels your physical body with this spiritual body. Okay, and so in our physical bodies, you've got different members. You know, your fingers, your hands, your arms, elbows, so forth. Maybe in some cases, not brains, but most of the time we got that. It's like the one guy that was going to get a brain transplant, and they offered him three options. They said it's $10,000 for this brain from a doctor, and then $20,000 from a famous scientist, but it was $30,000 for a politician's brain. And the guy couldn't believe that. Man, why so much for the politician's brain and for all the other? You think he's that much smarter? No, it's just not used, that's for sure. And so that's how that works. Okay, and so you have different parts of your body. In verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now you can see how the Bible is written. Sharp, two-edged sword. If a person wants to deceive themselves that H2O is necessary for salvation, isn't that verse written that way where a person can deceive themselves? Assuming that baptize means H2O when it can or it can't. Okay, it's in for the New Testament. It's done for symbolism in obedience to the Lord. Okay, but then he says whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So I guess that would be sign language from your foot. You know, your foot's got to say this, something like that, through sign language. And if the eye shall, ear shall say, because I am not the body, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Okay, and if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Okay, the body that God has created through Adam and then down through the lineage, obviously the genetics were perfect with Adam, down through the lineage where we've got 6,000 years of going weeding through all this genetics and how it's decreasing and all this. The scientists will say, well, these vestigial organs, you know, weren't really necessary. No, they are. Everything that God has in our body is necessary. Every bit of it. And so here, what happens is, in verse 22, the members of the body which seem more feeble, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, verse 26, in your natural body, when one member of your body is suffering, doesn't it capture the attention of our entire body? I mean, you whack your finger and, oh, yeah. And nobody says, well, your foot's okay. Yeah, but my finger. Yeah, but your knee's okay. Yeah, but my finger. It gets our attention. So we have many in our church that's suffering, going through difficulties, you know, and so in a way it affects all of us. And that's, you know, that's the blessing of cell phones. Cell phones are very annoying at times, but there's a blessing of it where Jan's got like five different groups of contacts, and we're keeping tabs with everybody, telling them we're praying for them. Okay, and that's a bond that draws us closer together. Okay, where a lot of times a person goes through difficulty, and one of the temptations of Satan is that you feel like you're the only one. And that's a wonderful thing about the cell phone where we run this stuff out. No, we're praying for you. They're praying for you. They're praying for you. They're praying for you. Everybody's praying for you. And it draws us closer to people. And so the idea here in verse 26 is when one member suffers, the whole body's suffering. Okay, and what Paul is taking a mysterious doctrine, using your natural body as a parallel, okay, and then he's trying to show us something about the church itself. Now, we pay more attention to our feeble areas of the body, and when we have an injury, it causes a certain interest in our body, and sickness calls attention to the entire body. But what's happening throughout the world is that this COVID thing, this China virus thing, this is biological warfare, okay? And the shot, the thing, is an experimental vaccine. It's intended to be that way. Some are placebos. There's a certain percentage are placebos. Where they're not using lab rats for this one, they're using people. And that's what's going on. Now, this is not a conspiracy. It's not a hidden conspiracy. Okay, my daughter-in-law, Jen, got me a t-shirt for my birthday. And it reads, it's usually, you got to have too much print on it. But this t-shirt said, I need another conspiracy because all the ones that I believed came true. And a few years ago, I think Mel Gibson put a movie out called A Conspiracy Theory. And my nieces and nephews and Janet Lyle, they were watching A Conspiracy Theory. And they said, that guy sounds like Uncle Dave. And I watched that, and I said, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. I'm sitting there watching that. And the thing about these conspiracies are so true. What is it? It's more than two people getting together to commit a crime. You mean to tell me there's not more than two people trying to get together to commit a crime? Of course they are. The international bankers are trying to commit a crime. And they're not hiding it. They're not hiding it. And for the believer, we can look at it in a little different fashion. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 13. Prayer for each of us throughout this thing will draw us closer. You see, the Lord can take lemons and make lemonade out of it. Hebrews 13:3, he says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. That's hard to do. And then he says, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now, there's kind of a rule of thumb that the Lord has placed on the devil and his cohorts is that they are required to publicize their intentions. I think the Lord has them do that because this way we have foreknowledge. plus we can act accordingly, plus we can wrestle against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, the strong immune system that one can develop in your body can go against natural diseases, but what we're dealing with is a disease that's created in the laboratory that goes against nature. Now, it's a little tougher on the immune system even at that, but yet, on occasion, a person can build their immune system. Now, if you know anything about Agenda 21, Agenda 21, they just publicized that they intend to depopulate 95% of the world population and want to get this accomplished by 2030. And by 2030, the powers that be want to confiscate all world property, and the ones who are left are happy that they don't own anything. I mean, they're saying this. They're not pretending. This is the real thing. This is what they want to do. And the Pope lately has presented a 7-year climate change plan. 7 year. Does that ring a bell? A 7-year climate change plan. And can you imagine if you watched any part of what's called COP26, this is a climate change event that took place in the United Nations. And here, think about this, all these world leaders from around the world, you know, traveled for this convention, climate change. What is climate change? It's nothing but a hoax. It's the powers that be are using fear to try to bring a one world government. That's the intent of it. It used to be, some of us are old enough where we remember the glacier. Remember, oh, the glacier's going to get us. And then somebody told Mother Nature to turn the thermostat up, and then it became global warming. Well, now they've fixed all that problems. Now it's just strictly climate change. And the intent of this is to create fear to bring in a one world government. Now, Prince Charles said at this conference, this is a conference that Arthur Roberts, also known as Joe Biden, I think he's the actor of Joe Biden. He's got dementia like Joe Biden does. He fell asleep at. Okay, this is one. And all these people traveled from around the world. And here is how they started the convention. Can you imagine that? They put a video on screen.
Listen up, people. I know a thing or two about extinction. And let me tell you, and you'd kind of think this would be obvious, going extinct is a bad thing. And driving yourselves extinct in 70 million years, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. At least we had an asteroid. What's your excuse? You're headed for a climate disaster. And yet every year, governments spend hundreds of billions of public funds on fossil fuel subsidies. Imagine if we had spent hundreds of billions per year subsidizing giant meteors. That's what you're doing right now. Think of all the other things you could do with that money. Around the world, people are living in poverty. Don't you think helping them would make more sense than, I don't know, paying for the demise of your entire species? Let me be real for a second. You've got a huge opportunity right now. As you rebuild your economies and bounce back from this pandemic, This is humanity's big chance. So here's my wild idea. Don't choose extinction. Save your species before it's too late. It's time for you humans to stop making excuses and start making changes. Thank you.
I don't know if that rings a bell with you about so many Bible passages. They taught it at an international convention. People were coming to this place, and that's how they started. A reptilian talking to people. Prince Charles said at the same conference, there's a military dictatorship we need for one man to step in and have trillions of dollars to save the climate. I don't know about you, that in one way I'm thinking, these people have gone bonkers. They've been bonkers. But another way I'm thinking, wow, that if that is not something in the book that's telling us how close we are. The world is looking for a reptile. Now, if he would shape-shift into be a man, they will jump right in line with that. That's what the world intends to do. Now, they're telling us what they're going to do. But I'm waiting for a big trumpet blow, what I'm looking for. And that's how that conference began. And the amazing thing is, in Psalm 139, verse 14, it mentions that Adam, it refers to Adam, who is fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, you and I are about 6,000 years from Adam, so our genetics obviously have been affected through time. But even at that, you know and I know that our body is a self-healing body. Okay, and a lot of these so-called COVID deaths, you can't put it on COVID. You could put it on the program that's used in the hospitals designed to take them out. Why? To meet that 95% depopulation. That's the intent. Okay, and so we know that. Okay, and as far as that goes, but yet when this sickness occurs, it's obviously going to get our attention. And there are remedies that can be used. Jan and I are big on tinctures and all that. And recognizing your body, you can discern possibly what can help you. Okay, I know in my body, if I get like lower back pain, where like Friday I got up, I could feel one little spot in my lower back like a tight muscle. And so as soon as I felt that, I got up in the morning, I said, I know what I'm supposed to, I know what I can do to fix it. But then I didn't feel like doing it to fix it. So I go out to the barn and work all afternoon, you know, cleaning stuff in my back. Oh, and at night I come in, come on, ding dong, go fix it. So what I knew was going to fix it, you get in the shower and you turn that water all the way cold. Right on that spot. And you go, you know, and then you turn it for 30 seconds. If you can make it for 30, you turn it back to hot for 30 seconds. And you turn it back to cold. And you turn it back to hot. And you turn it back to cold and back to hot. And by the fourth time, you could stay under that cold in that spot indefinitely. And then I get out of the shower and that's fixed. I know what that's going to fix, that one. But I got a left shoulder that's been bugging me for 2-3 months, and that hot and cold is not fixing my left shoulder. You see? And so I got to find other techniques, other methods for that, but maybe it's something that the Lord wants to say, okay, I'm going to mess up your game for a little while. and so there's other things a person can do, but prayer and guidance from the great physician is vital. If you would go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I used to get a lot of cold sores. I used to get a lot in my mouth. And one time I had a bunch of them, and I was praying, Lord, would you please fix this? Man, this is just really painful and annoying. And it was like the Lord said to me, why don't you pray and ask what you need to give your body to fix it? And since the Spirit kind of suggested that, I kind of thought, well, I think that's a good idea since you kind of suggested that. And I said, Lord, would you give me some wisdom? And he gave me a thought, and I acted upon that thought, and guess what? Cold sores go away. And now I know that it's because of acidic buildup in my body, and don't hardly ever get those anymore. Okay, but still, in 2 Chronicles 16, there's a guy named Asa. He was a good character, he's a good king. But toward the end of his life, he got the rich man's disease. Okay, what's the rich man's disease? 2 Chronicles 16:12, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. So what's that rich man's disease that they often get? Is gout. What is that? Gout is an acidic body, and the acid settles down in their feet, and it causes great pain. Well, it says, until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. You see, the Bible's not telling us don't seek the advice of physicians. It's telling us we better seek the great physician first. Now, the great physician might lead us to see a regular physician, but we also know the regular physicians are nothing but practicing medicine. Now, if you read the next two verses, this man suffered from this gout for 2 years and then died from it. That's pretty raunchy. Now, he should have sought the Lord. If you would, go to the New Testament in Mark chapter 5. The blind obedience of Americans who've become conditioned to see a guy in a white coat like he's the expert. Last I checked, the average lifespan of a medical doctor is about 58 years. I don't think that is a successful lifetime track record. Okay, there's other things that we can do. In Mark chapter 5, here's a lady in the day of the Lord. It says in verse 24, Mark 5, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So we're cutting in the middle of a story. There's a guy in verse 20, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, is asked Jesus to go with him to heal his little daughter. On the way there, people are flooding around him. This is how you know the guys on TV are fakers, because this never happens to them. And it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, I don't know what that disease would be, suffered and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. 12 years. It's like one patient wrote a check out to pay for her doctor's fee, and a couple weeks later they go back, and the doctor said that your check bounced, and you know your money. Couldn't get your money because your check bounced. And she said, "Well, guess what? My sickness came back too, so I guess I'm not going to pay anyway." Okay, but what a thing, as far as that goes. Okay, she suffered many things of many physicians. And then who fixed her? And when she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she was felt in her body, and she was healed of the plague. And you can read the rest of the story. Obviously, we know these are gifts of healing that Jesus Christ manifested because he was a Jewish apostle. Does the Lord heal through healers today? That's not his program today. Okay, there are other means God can heal. Through prayer, God can heal anytime he chooses. Okay, but God's not using the healer in these days. Now, if a person's honest to themselves, that we'd have to admit most of our troubles in life, most of our problems, if we're going to be honest, we'll have to say is self-inflicting. I mean, no, the devil didn't make me do anything. He don't got time to waste with me. I can mess it up myself. And that's a natural law. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so a lot of the health crisis that people are having, if they look in the mirror, they might discover that their worst culprit is themselves. And so a person can study diet and try to give your body the necessary things that it needs to live a healthy life. But there are other sources of sickness. If you would look at Matthew 4, we're going to look in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we discover the cause of something, not just the symptoms, if we discover the cause, at least we can go to the point of the cause and possibly get healing in that way. Matthew 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Of course, look how much money people spend on health. And then he says, and they brought on him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. So diverse diseases, so you got regular diseases, you've got really hardcore ones. And then it says, and those that were possessed with devils. You've got spiritual cause. And then it says, and those which were lunatic, lunar, moon. Amazing how the full moon, where things will increase in hospitals, increase in jails. Why does that take place? Is it the moon or is it satanic activity? Most likely it's a satanic activity that's influencing people mentally, spiritually, and physically. I asked my sister that one time. She's a nurse. And I said, Joe, did you ever see more activity at the hospital during the full moon? She said, yeah, how'd you know that? Yeah, because the Bible gives us some information. So you got a lunatic where a person can be mental. It could be a chemical imbalance. It could be a spiritual imbalance. It could be a physical imbalance that's causing the lunatic. Okay, and then he says, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. No dudge with the Lord. Now, what are the cause? Satan can be a cause, and I would dare say this thing that's going on is orchestrated by the devil and company. In Job chapter 2, if you remember reading the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, God allowed Satan to kill his children, take all his wealth from him. And then in chapter 2, he took his health from him. He gave him a disease. So the source of Job's sickness in Job chapter 2 was from Satan himself. And then his three buddies come along, and they give a demonstration of not how to comfort people when they're sick. Well, your children died because they were wicked, Job. You're sick because you're wicked. Okay, and this developed often into some theology where Christian scientists believe that you're never sick, you only think you're sick. Okay, and so this is obviously the devil takes a truth and twists it. Well, in Job 2, when you read through that, of course, Job was honored by God at the end. If you would, let's try Mark chapter 1. Here's a different type of sickness. Mark 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. And it says, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. So that's Simon Peter, their brothers. James and John, their brothers. But Simon's wife's mother, oh, look at there, the first pope was married. What'd that guy do that for? I mean, the first vicar of Christ. You know, the Holy Mother Church talks about the vicar of Christ, Simon Peter. He was married. I mean, it says, and Simon's wife, mother, lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered on him. That's just a normal, natural thing. It's amazing to me how the flu has been cured. Nobody gets a flu anymore the last 2 years. It's just gone away. The flu's gone away. Amazing. Boy, COVID is a miracle sickness. The flu's gone. The colds are gone. COVID took care of everything. It's just normal, natural healings that a person goes through in life. Okay, and the Lord took care of that one. You say, what are we going to do? You're going to go through it. Okay, and then if in chapter 5 or chapter 3, here's a guy that was sick, had a withered hand. He was a handicap. And the Lord's solution here was, your sins are forgiven. Wow. And that set the guys off when he said his sins are forgiven. Okay, and then in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you'll see these different things taking place. Okay, and evidently, this man had a sin that caused him a physical ailment. So what we need to do, because our body is uniquely, it's called psychosomatic, where a person can have a physical problem that hurts them spiritually. Who had that happen to him in the Bible? Elijah. Remember, he got depressed, 1 Kings 19. What was the angel's solution? You need to rest, relax. You've worn yourself out. Taking that sword and cutting off 400 heads the previous day is tiresome. You're worn out. And so his spiritual problem was a physical cause. A spiritual cause could cause a physical problem or a mental problem. And so that's where a person seeks the Lord and asks for wisdom in this. Okay, in Mark chapter 5, this is a maniac of Gadara. Okay, after he was healed of his. If you would, try John chapter 9. So some sickness is from Satan himself. Some is just natural things that we deal with in life. Some are self-inflicting. Okay, some are ordered by the Lord. In John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, I kind of think after they asked that question, you don't see a pause in the Bible here. But can you imagine if they ask him, who did sin? His parents? Okay, I could understand that. But this man, wait a minute, he was born blind, so what sin did he commit in the womb that would cause him to be born blind? Yeah, I could almost imagine the Lord looking at him, his eyebrow going up, said, you want to ask that question again? Let's rephrase that question. You know, but this is a common thing that people think. Is that a person sick because of sin? Or they got an ailment. In this case, it's a handicap. Notice the re-answer. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's a whole different thing. You try another one in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the greatest Christian, I would dare say the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, had constant infirmities. Why? Well, I would dare say probably the biggest reason could be because of spiritual hindrance by Satan. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? But another reason, he's gone from culture to culture. Okay, once I was down with Brent down in Costa Rica, and we was visiting a lady in the church. And, you know, Brent being in Costa Rica for a while, he's kind of come accustomed to their little worms. And when this lady brought out some lemonade, I know one thing is they don't have running water in that house. And I know another thing that they got to go get that water from that area. And that lemonade can make them worms taste a little different, but personally, I don't want to get the family disease. You know, the one that runs in your genes. I don't want to get that one. And so when she had two cups out there, I looked at Brent, I said, I'm not drinking that. Now, he downed it. He didn't drink mine, but he downed it because he was accustomed to it. But you see, Paul's gone from culture to culture to culture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it said this about him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, when I read that, that's when I become a Greekifier. And I run to the Greek, and I'll change those words, and I'll say, it don't mean what that says. No, he means exactly what he says. Paul took pleasure in his infirmities. I haven't reached that. You know, I moan and groan. I don't take pleasure in my infirmities. Okay, but that's Paul because he sees a bigger picture. He knows that if God's going to tear apart his physical body to help somebody out spiritually, okay, then let it be. That was Paul's attitude. I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So, you know, all this that's going on, we need to keep everybody in prayer. Keep the text going so we can pray. Okay, but yet, here's also one of the things the Bible would tell us about in Philippians chapter 3. This will draw us closer, one to each other, but closer to our desire for heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Looking forward to that. And then Revelation 21:4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Looking forward to that day. Brand new body, and of course, in order to receive that, one needs to be born again. And that's why we must be born again. Okay, we'll pray. Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us to appreciate your promises of your words. And Lord, folks that are sick and just coming up here, just between the churches, I get two texts about somebody else. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to draw closer. We pray you'd give grace to the ones who are sick, ones really bad sick. Give them good healing. Breathe life into their soul, into their body. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to look forward to your coming. As the last prayer in the Bible says, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I forgot to mention, we won't have the 4 o'clock today. We'll not have the 4 o'clock.